Yo, the Valhooked Whitey is back. It's another solo effort. I'm coming to you not live from East Rosebud Studios in Billings, Montana. I'm going to keep talking about the rise and the fall of East Rosebud High School. And, you know, I left off last week. Oh, wait a minute. Before I go any further, Fly Fishy Nielsen ratings came in. And I'm flabbergasted. I'm simply flabbergasted. Apparently, last week's rating of having hundreds and hundreds of listeners and viewers was actually a mistake. I contacted the Nielsen Corporation, and they told me that after further review, this podcast has basically flatlined. And I asked them, what the fuck does that mean? That's a movie. They're like, no. In our business, flatlining means we can't detect one fucking human listening to your program. So Jesus, I go from, you know, the top to the bottom, just like that. But I don't care, because I got to get this off my chest. It's interesting, my last podcast, I talked a lot about the River Goddess. And, you know, when I started to talk about her and the experiences I had fishing with her, I never had anything prepared. It literally just flowed out of me. And in the day or two since I recorded that, I've had a lot of people, you know, come up to me, mostly my family, and ask me if I'm fucking okay. Like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, fuck yes, I'm okay. Why am I not okay? So apparently I exuded a little bit too much personal conversation there, personal life, but it's all the real deal. And the reason I talked about her was because what I've been able to do in my career at East Rosebud Fly Shop, those first 8, 10, 12, 15 years, straight up, I couldn't have done it without her. She gave me the support, the stability, the confidence, and more than that, the right word at the right time, the right compliment at the right time. Her criticisms were real, but they were subtle. And she helped me do what I had to do, even though she ended up being the consequence. So I'm definitely okay, and I'm glad I expressed myself the way I did. So today what we're going to talk about, we're going to keep this going, more history and more fact and more what got me here. Well, I'm going to talk about vendors. When I first started in this industry, which was back in 08, 09, to get top-tier vendors was fucking impossible. It was impossible. The first person I called was a gentleman by the name of John Yusko. And John covered the territory for Sims. John was good, and he'd been doing it a long time, and he was savvy. And I finally get in touch with him after getting his number from Sims. And I said, hey, John, my name's Rich, and I'm going to open up a fly shop in Billings, Montana. And I'd love to carry Sims. And without even a fucking breath or any subtle tone, Yusko says back to me, why in the hell would I open up another dealer in Billings, Montana when I already have two good dealers? And I was like, fuck. Well, because I love Sims. Everybody loves Sims. Okay. He's like, look, you get open, you get rolling, you show me what your presentation is, and we'll talk at some point. Click. Fuck. You know, wow. That's like, you know, getting embarrassed in fucking grade school or something by a teacher. I mean, Jesus. I mean, I got schooled in that conversation. I didn't say 8 words. Then I called a gentleman by the name of Mike Atwell, who's now retired. And I did a lot of business with Mike my first 8, 10 years in the sport. And, you know, Mike, I call him because of Sage. And, you know, I'm a total rube. I'm on the phone again. I'm like, hey, Mike, it's Rich. He's like, Rich who? I'm like, I'm going to open up a fly shop in Billings, Montana. He's like, do you have a lease signed yet? I'm like, not yet, but he's like, let me stop you right there. When you have a signed lease and you fax it to me, we can talk. And I'm like, oh boy, okay, fuck. I mean, whoa, okay. So, you know, clearly I was not going to get a chance to open up with top tier brands. And, you know, it wasn't like I had a bunch of dough, but it wouldn't have mattered. Because what these two gentlemen were doing, again, they're territory reps representing top vendors. What they're doing is they're protecting their existing dealers. You know, for the first 2-3 years, I'm like, These guys are motherfuckers. I hate them. But the thing is that they were just doing their jobs, and I didn't know that. Because if you're going to open up a fly shop, unless you walk into a marketplace that has no dealers representing those top brands, and that's not probably going to happen now, you're not going to get them. I mean, you can fucking be Mr. Trust Fund Baby, and you're not going to get them. They want to make sure before they put their product in your store, they want to make sure you're going to fucking make it. Because I would say, unless you're really, really, really well-funded, and that could be a trust fund guy, there's definitely a chance you're going to fucking go out of business. I mean, I've done it for 17 years, and it's tough. I mean, you know, we talk about how tough guiding is, and we talk about, you know, the difficulties in making money in the sport of fly fishing. But I'm telling you, retail, take it out of the sport of fly fishing, is hard. Bring it into fly fishing where we have a nano percentage of just active fishermen. There's a company called Pure Fishing, and they're a big conglomerate. They own Hardy. They own a ton of shit, mostly spin gear, right? I heard that Pure Fishing sells more fucking power bait than the entire industry of fly fishing grosses in revenue. That right there will tell you how small we are as just part of the greater fishing community. So these brands, they protect them big time. And like I said, you're just not going to get them right away, just like I didn't. As the days and months and couple of years went on, and I still wasn't able to secure Sage, I still wasn't able to secure Winston, I finally got Sims, but I couldn't get these top-tier rod companies. I was selling St. Croix, which is fine, and I was selling G. Loomis, which is fine, but I'm a Sage guy. And I don't mean I'm a Sage guy as a retailer. I'm a Sage guy as an active fly fisherman. It's all I fish. There's a ton of good rods out there. I mean, fuck, even the imports in the marketplace now are good. But I'm a Sage guy. I still think they make the best fly rods on the planet. They're also American-made, which matters to me when it comes to quality equipment. And so not having Sage was kind of like not having the girl you want. You might be satisfied. You might be doing okay. You might be getting a little bit of trim. But you're not getting it from her. And that's what Sage was to me. Was my hottest girlfriend. And I waited and I waited. One day, this is in my first location, and I've been in three. A husband and wife come in, a man and a woman. I've never seen them before. I don't know who they are. And within a couple of minutes, this gal walks up to me and she's like, "You have a beautiful store." And I'm like, "Well, thank you." She's like, "Your material selection is really good." And I'm like, "Well, goddamn, thank you, ma'am." And, you know, I don't really know more than that. And then she looks at me and says, "But I got a question. Why don't you have Sage?" And I'm like, "You want the short version or the long version?" She says, "I'll take the short." I says, "You know, Mike's a dick. He won't fucking give it to me." And I've been battling and fighting to get Sage since the first 6 months I opened. And I think now I'm into my second to third year. She's like, "Oh, well, Barry can get you Sage." And she was referencing her husband, who was nose down in a bunch of materials 15 feet away. And all of a sudden, I see this head lift up. And, you know, when you first meet Barry, for me, you know, I don't know what to say to him. You know, he's one of those guys that, like, you know, he only talks when he needs to talk. He's super smart, and he's made a career in fly fishing. And I don't mean 20 years, I mean 40 years, okay? Him and his wife, they host trips all over the planet. They're superb photographers. They've probably shot more covers in the sport of fly fishing than fucking anybody. I mean, they're really top tier celebrity couple. I don't pay attention, and I don't know who people are in this sport. So Barry comes over and he's like, "Okay, so what's the deal?" I said, "Well, Mike won't give me Sage and blah, 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 blah." And he's like, "Okay, I'll call Mike." And I was like, "Fuck, oh, wow. I mean, thank you, sir." He's like, "I'll call Mike. And if you don't hear from Mike right away, give me a call in a month or so." I'm like, "Deal." Handshaking, perfect. So I don't hear from Mike. I call Barry back, and he's like, "I'll make a call right now." And sure as fuck, within 24 hours, Mike's calling me. And Mike and I's relationship by this point had deteriorated to where I didn't even want the dude in my shop. I mean, I'm being a dick about it, no doubt, but that's how personal at this point me not having Sage was. You know, I was surging on those two competitors I referenced in episode one. You know, I was surging on him. You know, the one guy that never stalked anything, he was, you know, hanging on by a thread. And, you know, the schmuck who had everything, I think finally understood this new kid down here, you know, he's working. He's getting people in there. He's getting more shit. And the reason I got more shit was because in my first year or two, I didn't take a dime out of this fucking business. I didn't take a dime. I mean, maybe a dime, but not many dimes. And I put all the money that I made right back into inventory and filling that place up that I had. And that's what got Kathy Beck to reference me, to come up and talk to me. She liked what she saw. And to them, a shop like mine should have Sage. So Mike comes in and he's got this kind of like embarrassed look on his face. And then, and I'm just, you know, I'm still being a dick. And he starts to get that look at me like, you little punk, you know, you little smart ass punk. And he finally says, I got a call from Barry Beck. And that right there, that was the start of me having an opportunity to dominate the marketplace. He didn't give it to me right away. He waited a couple months till the fall season started. He gave the dude up the street that kind of consideration. Told the guy that I was going to get Sage. You have to understand, out of all the premium rods that are sold in this industry, I would say that Sage is that one brand you don't have to explain. I mean, it's weird. Even a novice beginner, for some reason, has heard of Sage fly rods. So it's a game changer for me as far as my gross, let alone my pride as a shop owner. So Mike, you know, took care of that, and I was ecstatic. Within 24 fucking hours of Mike giving me those rods, at least, you know, beginning the process of opening my account, here comes the territory rep for Winston. And, you know, of course, I wanted Winston too. I'm not a Winston fisherman, but fuck, they're made in Montana. They're beautiful rods, and they've got kind of a cult following. So as far as stocking a number two brand, I had to have Winston too. And as soon as he found out that Atwell opened me up with Sage, he was in here fucking giving me Winston. It was like all the dominoes fell at the same time. I'd been hurt, you know, waiting, working, bitching. And finally, I tore the dike down and it poured in and I got what I wanted. So now I got Sims, I got Sage, and I got Winston. And at that point, honestly, I didn't really need a lot more, right? When I didn't have Sims, I opened up with a wader company called William Joseph. They're out of business now, and you know, I hate to say this, but they should be. They were terrible waders. I was able to get Patagonia, you know, before I got Sims. And you know, I was ecstatic because even though I didn't really buy a lot of Patagonia, you know, god damn, I mean, that's a weighty fucking brand. I mean, you know, Patagucci matters. So I get them in, and then I continue to, you know, they were a big disappointment to me. I mean, again, we're talking about, you know, their waders and their boots. They were a disappointment to me because, you know, they for such a marquee name in outerwear and sportswear, layering, you know, I never did well necessarily with their waders and boots. I don't know if it's the, I'm not sure why, probably because I'm a Sims guy. And the point I'm trying to get across here is that when you're a leader on your sales floor, when you're a fly shop owner that actually works his business, and I wouldn't even have half of what I have if I left somebody else running my business, I can tell you that. And I got a great fucking crew here. But, you know, it isn't going to happen unless you make it happen. You know, I don't care if you're running a plumbing business or a fly shop. The strong one should be the owner setting the pace, and that's me. And now I had the vehicle set with the brands I needed. With Sage and Barry and Kathy Beck died a year ago. You know, it kind of, you know, you know, being my age and seeing the attrition of people, both my friends as well as people in the industry, I got to admit, for really not knowing Kathy great, that impacted me. You know, she and her husband Barry, they not only did they help me, but I'm going to say with a legit measure, they saved me. Because selling a $600, a $500, a $1,000 rod, you can imagine how that bolsters my day. So as soon as I had Sage, as soon as I had Sims, my volume just ticked up. It just gave me more options. It fortified me. It emboldened me. And that was because of Barry and Kathy Beck. So I saw Barry, you know, a year after, 6 months, 8 months after his wife died. And, you know, my expression about the River Goddess and what she meant to me when it came to this sport and my shop, that was easy for me to do. And as I sat across the counter from Barry, as he talked about his wife's passing, and just all the fucking logistical nightmares of getting her home, because she died literally at Jurassic Lake. You know, they were over there with a group, and that's where she passed away. I saw a titan in the industry, and I really mean that. Barry's everything. He was busted up. So love what you have while you have it. Last thing, with Sage and Winston and Sims, at that point, I was ready to take over my marketplace. I had the weapons I needed, and I was going to fucking use them. So that's it. It's episode 2, The Rise and Fall of East Rosebud High School. The Foul Hooked Whitey is out. I'll be back soon. Bye.